12 o'clock, so I'll call to order our Communications and Legislative Liaison Committee meeting on June 5th here in Conference Room C2 and online. Can I do roll call, please?
Ben's logging in now.
Oh.
Roll call, Director Tran. Director Yeo.
Present.
Director Sheldon. Director Mezqua.
Present.
Director Wigand.
Here.
Director Green.
Here.
Director Jung.
Present.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Meeks. Director Bilodeau. Director Tran.
Present.
Thank you. You do have a quorum of your committee.
Okay, Director Tran, I was asked to chair while in your absence, but now that you're here, we're only on items too late to be received. So, Director Tran, I'll let you carry away with the rest of the meeting if you so desire.
Thank you so much. I had a little problem with my computer. So I got to use the iPhone as backup here. Thank you so much once again. Roll call's done. And are there any items that's re being received too late to be
There are
agendized?
none.
Okay. Any visitor participation who would like to speak at this time? Seeing none, moving on to the consent calendar. Can I hear a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, I have a motion
A
to approve
second.
and second by Director Yeo. Please call for the vote.
Roll call, Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Mezqua.
Yes.
Director Wigand.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Thank you so much. Matters for consideration. Item number two. First, we'll go to the state, Sacramento. And this director, Jason's there, Gonzalez?
Thank you, Chair Chen. We have Paul Gonzalez on the line, as
Okay.
well as Don and Jason.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, and good afternoon, committee members. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning to give you as brief of an update as I possibly can, considering all the chaos that's going on here in Sacramento. So last week, the Appropriations Committee in both houses heard their suspense files, which is where bills are sent when they would cost the state at least $50,000 in the Senate and $150,000 in the Assembly. This year, the Senate Appropriations Committee held 29% of the 432 bills on its list, although they kept a handful of those alive as two-year bills to work on next year. And on the Assembly side, they killed 35% of the 666 measures on a suspense file, and most of them were held and were for the main reason being of the difficult budget situation that's going on here in Sacramento. Those bills that move forward from the suspense file now have until tomorrow, June 6th, to pass off the floor and out of their house of origin. The Senate has already concluded their business for the week, moved all the Senate bills over to the Assembly as of this morning. And the Assembly should wrap up sometime today, this afternoon. I will say, over the past few years, and including this year, we've seen kind of a culture where legislators give their colleagues a courtesy vote in the first house. And what that means is legislators are giving their votes to bad bills as a courtesy, keep the bill moving, as a courtesy to the author and their colleagues, and just punting it over to the other house and letting them be the bad guys. It's really become a frustrating part of the process and has made the house of origin even more difficult to lobby. And if that wasn't enough, moving those 1,000 bills by the end of this week, the governor did release his May revision on May 14th. And the May revise to the budget shows an estimated shortfall of about $12 billion, which the governor says is due to substantial changes in federal policy and tariffs that have downgraded the economic revenue forecasting. Obviously, the devastating fires that hit Los Angeles in January have introduced new uncertainty for the budget, especially with the tax deadline for LA County, where a quarter of all Californians live, was delayed until October. Stock market declines are expected to impact future income revenues, especially since California relies so much on capital gains. And that accounts for about $10 billion of the projected revenue decline that they see moving forward. So to solve the budget deficit, the governor has proposed significant number of reductions to ongoing programs, such as Medicare, Medi-Cal, for about $6 billion in savings, He also proposed a fund shift of about $1.5 billion from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund. That's where the cap and trade revenue is going to. That $1.5 billion shift would go to over to CAL FIRE operations, and that would grow to $1.9 billion in 2028 and 2029. And also, as part of the governor's proposal, is to extend the California cap and trade program that's currently set to expire in 2030. And he's proposed to rename the program the Cap and Invest program. As you all probably know, cap and trade currently brings in billions into the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund each year. And recent revenue auctions have came in much lower due to the uncertainty of the program, which has really caused the legislature to make it a priority to try and revive that system. When it comes to water, the governor has two proposed sets of trailer bill language to, one, encourage the advancement of the Healthy Rivers and Landscapes program. And number two, kind of the big elephant in the room is the Delta Conveyance Project. The governor's Delta Conveyance Project is about a $20 billion project. He's asked the legislature to accelerate it by passing bills to simplify CEQA, confirm that DWR has the authority to issue bonds to cover the project cost, and to try to prevent unnecessary litigation delays and support construction. However, this proposal is very controversial. Some lawmakers, environmental groups are vehemently opposing the idea, saying it will harm fish land, farmland, the environment, local economies, and et cetera. So what's next? Negotiations between the governor and the legislative leaders in both houses are in full swing. The legislature has already begun their legislative budget hearings on the May revised proposal and will continue to do so until an agreement is reached. The one thing we do know is the legislature will pass a budget by June 15th, because if they don't, they will have to forfeit their pay. It will most likely be a shell budget that will be accompanied by numerous budget trailer bills that will be introduced and adopted between now and who knows, probably the end of middle of September when they adjourn for session. So that concludes my report, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you so much for the update. Any questions or comments from the members? Seeing none, I do have a question concerning the three bills or four bills that are not on suspense. That's AB 259, SB 496, SB 601 and SB 599. What's their prospects for those bills? The
Sure,
prospects for passage.
Director Tran. So maybe that's a good place for me to jump in because we had a few updates on some of those bills. So AB 259, assuming remember Rubio's open meetings bill, which you are supportive of, passed on a 73-0 vote out of the assembly. So we would expect it to, continue to have some good prospects as it moves into the Senate. Unfortunately, SB 496, which was a bill to create some additional exemptions to the state's Advanced Clean Fleets rule, which requires your producers and yourselves to procure zero emission vehicles. That bill was held in the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, so it won't be mo advancing this year. It's not exactly a surprise. It had some fairly stiff resistance from the administration. You asked about SB 601, which is a bill that our two firms have been working a lot on over the last several weeks. So, as a reminder to all of you, you're probably remembering, but you took an opposed position on this bill because it is a massive expansion of the state's authority to regulate discharges to water bodies. In theory, from the author's perspective, this is about reversing at the state level some Supreme Court decisions that have limited federal authority in this space. But the bill itself is vague enough that it likely applies to water bodies that were never regulated by the federal government in the first place. And most importantly of all, especially for the sponsors of the bill, it includes a private right of action that allows, any private party to sue Orange County Water District or its producers over alleged violations of this new, massive permitting regime at the state. So obviously, it's been a large issue for all of you. We have worked it very hard in the last several weeks with Cal Chamber and other opponents of the bill, and we've had a lot of success actually. So going into this week, Senator Allen, the author of the bill, simply did not have the votes to pass it. He was short the 21 votes he needed on the Senate floor. But as Paul alluded to, this day and age, you know, the reality is the authors have a fairly easy path to get their bill off the floor. So despite the fact that he didn't have the votes, what he did was go to his colleagues who were not willing to vote for the bill based on our lobbying and offer to do two things. He committed to removing that private right of action from the bill, which is a big deal because it eliminates a lot of, you know, risk of frivolous litigation towards you and your producers, but also committing to working with the opponents to try and limit the scope of the bill. So with that, he had barely enough votes for it to pass. It ultimately had 22 votes, so only one vote to spare, and passed out of the Senate, but in a much reduced form over his objection. We will continue to work with other opponents against the bill in the assembly and until one of two things happens, until it dies or until it is amended in a way that resolves your concerns with it. And then lastly, I believe the last bill that you asked about was AB 794 by Assemblymember Gabriel. This is in a somewhat similar vein, but on the drinking water side, this is a bill that it would give the State Water Board authority to adopt new maximum contaminant levels as emergency regulations. And that also applies to PFAS. Our two firms have been opposing that bill vigorously on the assembly floor. It has not come up yet. It's going to be taken up likely today. It has to be taken up today for it to stay alive. We are hoping, you know, our expectation for the reasons that Paul stated is that his colleagues will give him a courtesy vote. The assembly member is an incredibly popular member, and he's the chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, so he is impactful in his own house. So, you know, our expectation is that it moves off the assembly floor, but we have worked it in the hopes of, you know, bringing that vote count down low so that when it moves into the Senate, where he is not as important, we can hopefully continue to make progress on it and stop it.
Right. We have that that bill on suspense based on the staff report, actually. So it's to, I guess it's to, we're just going to have to tune in on that one, on that particular bill. I'm talking about SB 599, the Caballero bill, actually, the last Senate bill, which is, according to the staff report, the hearings was May 5th.
Yeah.
Appropriate.
So go ahead, Paul.
Oh, I was just going to say, SB 599 passed off the Senate floor 38-0, is now over in the Assembly, is moving very well, has broad support. That one should have no problem over in the Assembly as well.
Okay, very well. Thank you so much. Are there any questions or other comments by the members? Seeing none, I would recommend that we put this on the board agenda for June 18th, since I think it would be a good date because the legislature needs to pass all the bills, right, if they want to get paid by the 15th of June. So that's where the rubber meets the road. We'll know where these bills will be. Any objections?
Just to make sure, Chair, is yes. It just for the consent calendar, right?
Yes, for the consent calendar.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you so much for the reminder.
I saw some staff eyes pop up. We didn't want to put it on the regular items to do a presentation and report.
Right. I appreciate that. All right, moving on to the federal legislative update portion. Mr. Shepherdstein.
Thank you, Chair Tran. A couple of updates. First, most importantly, the appropriations earmark requests in the House have been identified by a number of members, including your delegation members. Happy to report that Representative Kim did submit the $5 million request for PFAS cleanup for the district. And at the same time, Representative Correa provided a request of $5 million for Santa Ana. So that's all really good news. And we now have to wait till June 12th for Senator Padilla and Senator Schiff to release their project requests to the Senate Appropriations Committee. So from a sort of where we go from here, the House is pledging through the leadership to move all the spending bills out of the Committee on Appropriations before the August recess begins, ideally sometime in the first 2 weeks of July. We'll see if that happens. They will have the, call it the perennial debate over what programs to fund and if there's agreements over the program, or excuse me, funding priorities. But at this point, all efforts are being made to get bills done so that the House and Senate can conference in September on final spending bills. Will that happen? Highly unlikely. We'll probably see the spending debate go into October, November. But the conventional wisdom that isn't always correct is that we will get final spending bills this year because members, particularly in the Senate, do not want to have 2 years in a row of not having earmarks provided because of the continuing resolution as the alternative approach, which denies the ability to fund earmarks. So fingers crossed, but at least the priority for continuing federal assistance for cleanup of PFAS continues. So that's.
Can I make a comment on that topic? We have good news to report as of May 1st of this year that the first earmark that we had requested in 2023 has been received. We have the funding of $5 billion from Congresswoman Young Kim. So year we have been requesting funding, but it is actually in our bank account. So this is great news.
Oh, very nice. That's May 1st, right? So last month already. Very good.
Okay,
anything else?
Moving on, I've got three other quick items, Chair. PFAS congressional briefing is set for June 18th, and working with the staff and the general manager, we were able to secure a position for Jason Dadakis to present for the water sector the views and opinions on both PFAS liability and the challenges of addressing PFAS in drinking water. We did coordinate with the Association of Metropolitan Water Agencies. So that's really good news that the Water District is going to be the face on this congressional briefing on the need for PFAS liability protection. Again, that's on June 18th, and just absolutely delighted that Jason can do it.
Can I comment on that one too, Eric? I just want to clarify that this is a staff-to-staff briefing. This will not include any members of Congress. It's just to educate staff.
That's right.
Very good. Now, is it to the delegation of the committee? I'm sorry, to the California delegation, or is it committee member staff?
So, Chair, this is a Congress-wide congressional briefing. And I'm sorry for short circuit. Let me give you a little quick background. We have been working sort of as a leadership capacity with the passive receivers group. And so what we're doing is we're essentially convening this briefing for any and all staff in the House and the Senate that would like to be updated on what the issues are surrounding the PFAS debate. This is actually very important because a number of staff have changed over the course of the last year. So it'll be an educational aspect as much as an update piece of briefing for congressional staff. And then the other thing is, as far as witnesses are concerned, we'll have a wastewater sector person, you folks as the water sector, solid waste, the National League of Cities, counties, and a couple other call it passive receivers like the Compost Council and Biosolids interests. So it's going to be hopefully a very good and informative briefing. And at a minimum, it basically raises the volume, if you will, on the importance of getting a PFAS liability exemption on the books.
Very good. Thank you so much. Anything else?
Second to last item, PFAS. Yesterday, the EPA asked the court for an additional 45-day delay in the litigation over the MCL status. Whether or not EPA is going to defend against the AMWA, AWWA, and Chamber of Commerce, I believe, litigation challenging the economics and the cost benefits of the 4 parts per trillion MCL for drinking water standards. We expect that the court will probably grant that. And at that point, EPA will make a decision on how to move forward, whether they will defend or just let the court decide to throw the rulemaking process back to EPA for review and revision if necessary. Again, we won't know anything until 45 days from yesterday. And the last point, Chair, is the reconciliation that's ongoing in the United States Senate after the House approved the reconciliation bill, which is essentially the tax cuts and spending cuts. I only bring that up for two reasons. One, Representative Kim was successful in being a leader in an effort to increase the level of deductibility of state and local tax taxes on your federal tax forms from the current $10,000 per year to $40,000 per year. That has hit a bit of a snafu in the Senate, where there is apparently, we'll call it non-existent support to increase the SALT deduction. Why that's important, Representative Kim just earlier today, along with her colleagues, basically issued a very harsh statement to the Senate that it is unacceptable to eliminate in the Senate reconciliation package the increase in the deductibility of state and local taxes for your federal tax liability. So I mentioned that because that, along with the House provisions to eliminate immediately the clean energy tax cuts or tax credits, that were clawed back from the Biden efforts. In the Senate, a number of senators, particularly from red states that are benefiting from the tax credits for batteries, electric vehicles, what have you, are saying they would like to phase it out rather than kill the provisions immediately upon enactment. They are basically now in a position in the Senate of restructuring the House passed bill. And I would say between the SALT and the clawback of the Inflation Reduction Act clean energy provisions, the fact that there's only 53 votes in the Senate and there's at least 4 to 6 Republican members who have concerns about what the House did in reconciliation, coupled with the fact that they would like to impose more spending cuts than what the House did. The House passed $1.5 trillion worth of spending cuts. There's going to be a long summer of negotiations, most likely. At a best case scenario, we'll get the Senate and House to come together on a reconciliation package by the middle of July, not July 4th, as the president has requested. So we'll just have to see what happens. And I think at the end of the day, it's always challenging and probably not a good thing to make predictions. But I think the SALT increase, they'll figure out a way to come to yes and increase it to $40,000 ultimately per year. So, Chair, that is it right now.
Don't forget Senate member Elon Musk as well.
Yes, apparently also 30 minutes ago, he announced to the world that he would like to start a third party.
Oh, gosh. Never a dull moment in Washington, D.C. All right, thank you so much for the update. Any comments, members? Seeing none, we'll move on to informational items. The OC Water Summit is coming up.
Yes, thank you, Chair Tran. I have a brief update on the Water Summit that I'll share. Okay. So the Orange County Water Summit is coming up on September 5th. It is our 17th annual summit hosted by Orange County Water District and MODOC. It is OCWD's year to lead the planning efforts. So we have launched the website. This year's theme is Turning the Valve, Abundance for Orange County. So this is the graphic on the right. That's our invitation flyer. Our website is up. We have 56 registrants so far and a little more than 15,000 raised in sponsorship. So thank you to Mesa Water, who will be our luncheon, Irvine Ranch, who will be a program and table, And then our speaker dinner will be co-sponsored by Rutana Tucker and Tucker Ellis. So far we have four sessions. So the summit committee has been meeting, which is composed of three OCWD directors and three MODOC directors. Our four sessions are listed here, and we are seeking, sending out invitations, getting some confirmation. So if you see a C by the name, that's confirmed. So the first session, we have Rethinking the Bay Delta, moderated by Met Director Stephen Faisal, along with Kurt Smoody, and then those listed below. So Kurt is confirmed. And then we have, is the state prioritizing an abundant water supply? That will be moderated by General Manager Craig Miller of Western. And he's confirmed. And then we do have invitations out and requests to speak with all of those that are listed. Getting water on the ballot, we do have all of those speakers confirmed. So that will be moderated by Adam Probolsky. And then it'll be Jim Sutton, Darcy Burke, and Ace Smith, who is a up in Sacramento and is an expert on kind of getting bonds on the ballot. And then the fourth, we're still working on. This is a session we're working directly with Director Sheldon on, and it's PFAS. We were trying to get an update kind of the UCI CDC funded national study, but that's not working out. So we're trying to work to include some others, and we'll meet with Director Sheldon on kind of getting a new focus. But this is something that Jason, our point person on staff, will moderate. And we're reaching out to Tracy Meehan from the AWWA perspective, to see if he has interest as well. So more to come on that. We do have an upcoming meeting June 20th of the summit committee, where we'll get into more details. And that ends my update.
Any questions, comments from the members? Seeing none, I like to digress on the last item. The federal legislative update, if I can also recommend that we put that on the consent calendar for the board meeting for June 18th. All right, let's move on to number five on the agenda, Public Affairs Outreach Report, please.
Thank you, Chair Tran. The outreach report is in the packet, and I have a couple slides that highlight some of the information. So we did have a big media number, and that's largely due to we have a 3.7 million plus in reach just this past month. That's largely due to the segment that Megan, our director of research, did for Mission Unstoppable, focused on the GWRS. So that continues to get a lot of traction, as does our website and social media. Wanted to point out that we did receive a couple of awards. One outstanding water wastewater project for the Fullerton PFAS treatment plant. OCWD got the AQUA Certificate of Excellence Award. And then we also received an award for our water recycling video, which is largely geared for kind of the students and the general public. This showcases some of our recent speakers bureau, especially in the global water industry. So John represented OCWD in Paris. Chris represented us in Japan. And then we had a virtual speakers bureau that featured Jason, Roy, John, and Mayhol sharing with a Colombian delegation, all about groundwater management, water recycling, and sharing lessons learned. So this just further establishes OCWD's leadership role in the global water industry. And then we had our Tustin PFAS dedication plant, which Director Weigand mentioned last night at the board meeting. It was a successful dedication, and featured there we have members of the City Council. The full Tustin City Council was there, along with staff from the State Water Resources Control Board, and then our directors, Weigand, Bilodeau, and I believe Director Jung attended as well. So we are working with Irvine Ranch Water District to host a dedication for their treatment plant. We don't have a date yet. Tentatively, it'll be August or September. And then Eric mentioned June 18th, Jason will be representing OCWD in DC for that PFAS briefing. I also wanted to mention we it was previously an item on the agenda that the board approved letters going out to the Fountain Valley and Huntington Beach police and fire. So we did send that out, and we've received one response so far from the Fountain Valley Police, a group of detectives. They're coming on June 25th, and they'll be meeting with John Mayhul and Paula, and we will extend invitations as well to our directors who represent that service area. So they're coming for breakfast and a tour and presentation about our facility. And then we mentioned the Water Summit, and the other event to look forward to is October 23rd. That is our groundwater adventure tour. We haven't yet opened registration, but we will do so soon. And that concludes my update, Chair. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you so much. Any questions or comments? Gina, when was the last time that a presentation to the entire board was done for public affairs or outreach? I'm thinking of putting this item on the board agenda so the whole membership could be updated.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Typically, we provide these presentations at Comlish, not at the full board. But yes, if it's your pleasure, we could do that.
Okay, but it wasn't done last. I mean, we're at the
half. Wasn't done last time. Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. All right. Let's put that on the agenda then. Okie doke. Moving on to director's announcements reports. Seeing none, and then the general manager's announcements and reports.
The only thing, Mr. Chair, is I wanted to mention, looking ahead, our next meeting is July 3rd. And at the moment, we have a very light agenda. And we may talk with you in the future if we need that meeting. But let's wait a few weeks to see if the agenda remains light. So we'll talk some more in a couple weeks about that meeting.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you so much. Right. That's July 4th Eve, Independence Day.
Yes.
I hear you. All right. Thank you so much. With no further items on the agenda, I call for adjournment. Thank you so much. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.